CCNSO Members Day 1, Part 1, Tuesday, March 13, 2018, Room 209 BC, from 9 o'clock in the morning to 10:15. This is ICANN 61 San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Hey, hey, check one, two. Hey, hey.
Apparently, Good morning, dear colleagues. We're starting in 1 minute. Please take your seats, prepare yourselves. So, good morning, dear friends, fellow CCTLDs, CCNSO members, non-members, guests, everyone who came here today to enjoy CCNSO members' meeting day. And I'm especially happy to welcome you here in Puerto Rico, and later we will hear some welcoming words from our host, .PR. And you all know how important it was for our friends from cctld.pr that to welcome us here, that we come here, and we stand next to our friends. And when I was thinking about what to say during the opening or welcome speech, I found a very nice Puerto Rican proverb I liked very much. And I must say that now, it turns out that this proverb has another meaning as well, because as you know, on Friday, one of our fellow colleagues unfortunately passed away. It was Ben Fuller from .NA. He was a silent contributor who maybe didn't speak much, but was, whenever it was necessary, he was with us, participated in the work, and therefore, in recognition of our fallen colleague and friend, let's pause for a moment of silence. Thank you very much. And if you want to share your light and honor the memory of our friend, please find Nigel Roberts so you can do that. And now, okay, let's move forward. And another when I'm thinking about Puerto Rico PR, I found another nice quote by Bill Gates, just to show how in the importance of PR. So, let's remember that. Let's remember that. And and by remembering that, let me give floor to our host, Pablo Rodriguez, for his presentation.
Thank you all. Thank you very much. It is a great honor and a great pleasure to be before you. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank every single one of you for your support, for your continuous support. We have a song from Hector Lavoe, and he sings, it's called Mi Gente, My People. And the song says, I called you, and you all came, and we did that, and we called you, and we asked you to come and help us. Just by being here, you're helping us. Just by the simple fact that you're spending money here, from the smallest to the biggest item that you can purchase here, you're helping us. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We need that help. And at the time when I continue to tell everyone, I remember getting prepared, and the day after the hurricane, when we came out and saw the destruction, all I was able to say was, oh, my God, how am I going to pull this off? How am I going to convince the community that we will be able to rebuild and to be ready and to provide you with a decent state where you can have a productive meeting and at the same time be able to do this. But when I went to Abu Dhabi and I presented and I began speaking to the community, I realized the tremendous support that we were receiving from the entire community. I did not find one person that would tell me, no, we don't want to go. No, that place is so destructed that we want no part of that. It was all the country. It was all the country. The support, the love, the acceptance that we receive, it was amazing, and it was quite emotive. I continue to tell my wife at the time, I am so proud of being a member of this community because every single one of you were so effusive when you saw me, and the support that was advocated was amazing, amazing. I remember Chrissy Spain sending emails and asking, where are you? How are you? And emails from everyone in this community. It was amazing. Words cannot explain the love that I received from every single one of you. And to see you all here today is proof of that commitment, is proof of that sincere commitment. So from the bottom of our heart, from the bottom of our heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to Puerto Rico. This is your land too. This is your adopted country as well. You are loved here. You're welcome here. Thank you. I'd like to share with some of you, with all of you, I should say, some of our experiences. They were bittersweet experiences. We certainly have learned quite a lot from this. And I would like to begin by telling you, by sharing with you what we have done throughout the years with our community. We have very, very much involved, and you have seen some of these slides already. This is what we have done. We have been in shopping centers speaking to people about the internet, speaking about ICANN, speaking about why this is important, why is it important to adopt internet technologies and to take advantage of them. We have talked from the housewife to the teacher, to the student, to the entrepreneurs. This is Plaza Las Americas. If you would like to take a trip by, you will find lots of good stuff there. These are students where we were involved with robotics, the robotics program. And Virtual Educa is a program by the Organization of American States. And we took advantage of that while they were in Puerto Rico, and we brought NASA, and we began to share with them the robotics clubs that we had throughout the island and what we were doing throughout the island with our students to integrate them in what is called STEM. The acronym stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. We understand and we strongly believe that to step out of poverty and to develop a productive and competitive country, we have to integrate those skills and that knowledge in our community. So we began going through to different schools, and we began to collaborate with NASA and going to different schools and training teachers. We developed workshop capacity workshops for our teachers and also for students. And we continue to do that. I mean, and no one is excluded from kindergartner to universities. The idea is as follows. We have a program called CS for All, which stands for Computer Science for All. And the idea is that in the same manner that we teach mathematics in the school, and we do not pretend to make everyone a mathematician, but you need to have a basic minimum knowledge of mathematics to thrive in your life. In the same fashion, in this day and age, you need to know a minimum basic knowledge of computer science. How does computer works? And how does a program works? And how does an algorithm work? Can we teach our children that? Minimum basic knowledge to turn our population into a computer literate population. And so in the same way that great efforts have been dedicated to eradicate illiteracy. We want to do the same thing to eradicate computer illiteracy. So here's an example of a conversation with engineers at NASA, and we were doing a remote video exchange there. We are also involved with the Photonics Institute. We are taking the photonics technology has come to the point where we can teach it to people that have a minimum knowledge of algebra. And then once they get certified, they can work at companies that are involved in laser technology to do all sorts of things. Specifically in Puerto Rico, they're using a pacemaker, a heart pacemaker, and they use laser technology for quality control to make sure that the dimensions of the device are the appropriate ones and the correct ones. And so this is one of those graduates who we also won a Raspberry Pi. And we have given more than 200 Raspberry Pis throughout the entire island to teachers, students, and other people that can take advantage of them to do all sorts of different projects, from a server to robots. You can use them to develop video games and so on. This is one of the workshops, the capacitation workshops for teachers in which we were involved. And we trained over 500 teachers in 4 days in four different points throughout the island. Those were all science students, math and science teachers. Here you can see some examples of the robotics clubs. In this particular case, this is submarine robotics. We have also been involved with the Boy Scouts of America throughout Puerto Rico. And again, on and on and on and on. And we are especially proud of this team because on the far right, that's my son. But not only am I proud for that team, but they also won first and second place at nationals. So coast to coast in the United States. We competed with the best schools there was, and we won. So we're really proud about that. So let me move on to talk about some of the things that you already know. I know Europe is ahead of the game with this. But for those of us that have wondered if that is the case or not, climate change is a reality for us. I know that in some areas in the world might not be as simple or as easy to see it, but for us, it's a reality. As you know, the greenhouse effect is the increased accumulation, saturation of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And that serves as a greenhouse, which is nothing more than a layer that allows the sun rays, the energy of the sun rays, to come through the atmosphere, but it doesn't allow it to bounce back into space. Therefore, the atmosphere begins to heat up. Likewise, because our mother planet has security devices, the oceans absorb a great deal of that CO2. And what it does is a twofold effect. The ocean becomes warmer, because the gas is warm. But in addition to that, it becomes acidic. As our oceans become acidic, some of our very extremely delicate species will die. In this case, the coral reef. You see, very much like miners used to take canaries into the mine shaft to determine whether there was a poisonous gas there, corals serve as an alarm system to let us know if our oceans are too acidic or if there's something there, some type of poison. They are extremely sensitive, and if that balance is not perfect, they will die. And for those of you who are buffs of having saltwater aquariums, I can imagine you have experienced how difficult it is to maintain a saltwater aquarium. Now imagine an entire ocean. So when you have a combination of an extremely hot atmosphere and a and an extremely hot ocean, now you have a perfect combination for hurricanes. And those hurricanes will come, and hurricanes have always been here. I mean, this is not like we just invented hurricanes. It's just the fact that they are severe. The severity of hurricanes have increased exponentially. In the past, we would have a hurricane season, and we would get, you know, maybe 8 hurricanes, and some of the severity would be Category 2, Category 3, and maybe 1-4. Now we're having hurricane seasons of 15, 17 hurricanes, of which 8 of them are Category 4s and 5. Now, that is a big problem. That is a big problem. And I'll show you why that is a big problem. Imagine that in seconds, a hurricane passes by you, and your world is turned around, and honestly, you cannot recognize where you're standing. It doesn't look anything like what you knew. It's simply not there. Kim, can you help me with that?
President Trump declared an emergency today in Puerto Rico.
Residents were warned to brace for the worst.
Culebra fue una de las islas municipios que recibió los fuertes vientos del huracán Irma.
Maria, expected to become a hurricane later on, its path is actually following the path of Irma.
Puerto Rico está enfrentando por primera vez en unos 85 años un huracán categoría 5.
Que aquí hay que evacuar, hay que hacer desalojo, dejándole saber a todos los ciudadanos que esto es un peligro.
No lights. It is dark, entirely dark. And apparently, it could take months to get the power back on. Just think about that for a second in the modern world. Months with no power.
Think about that for a second. Month with no power. So what does that mean? So you don't have lights? Well, that's the first symptom, right? That's what you would notice immediately. But if you don't have electricity, then you don't have power to run your water treatment plants. And guess what? All of a sudden, that water continues to come. And now it starts to spill over. And it spills all over everywhere, wastewaters going into your waterways. And so we had people that immediately went to the rivers to get water. But they don't know that further up that stream, There is a filtering plant that is spewing wastewaters in that river. And within hours, you have people poisoned. You have people who are dying. And they don't know why. And we didn't know why. Because guess what? There are no phones. There is no TV. There is no radio. And I tell you, I have been sharing with some of the people an interesting story. After the hurricane, I turned on the radio, right? We're all told to have a battery radios, turn them on. That's how you can get information. I turned on my radio, and I got a baseball game. And I said, what the heck? Who's playing baseball? I mean, we love baseball. I understood. But who in the world would be playing baseball? Little that we know, as we could hear the Spanish that we're speaking, we realized, that's not Puerto Rican. What is that? We were catching a baseball game in Venezuela. Our radio spectrum was empty. There was nothing. We had no radio stations. They were gone. There was no TV stations, no radio stations, no telephones, no electricity, no water. How about food? We import 85 to 90% of our food. We made a decision at some point, because we are so small and our topography is so complex, that we put our money on technology. So we have Microsoft here, we have Boeing, and we have aerospace and robotics and medical technology, and that's where pharmaceutical. So we're very strong in technology. Guess what? You cannot eat that. You need to have food. Where's the food? Whatever little bits of foods we have from our farmers throughout the island who insist to thrive as much as they can, that was destroyed too. That was gone. Now what? What do you do? No gas, no diesel. So what did PR do in the face of that? We knew that we were getting a hurricane, and we knew it was going to be bad. So what we did is that we have always had two co-locations. One of them is a bunker at AT&T. And so we kept all of our systems there. We had two mirror systems, and it helped us create a form of an IXP kind of thing where we were exchanging DNS between one and the other. So throughout the island, we kept that DNS going. But in addition to that, we also kept a similar copy at AT&T in the mainland U.S. In the event that if something would happen, we could be ready. So that helped us to avoid losing our DNS. Now let me share with you this picture, and the picture on the top is Puerto Rico before the hurricanes. As you can see, the most litted area within that map is the metropolitan area where we are. And you may have noticed when you walk around, some people have told me, but it's barely imperceptible to see that there was a hurricane passed by here. Well, the metropolitan area is the most newest, strongest infrastructure, therefore suffered the least amount of damage. But when you go to the majority of the island, when you go to the center of the island, you will find the severity of the destruction. Now, look at Puerto Rico now. That picture was taken a week ago when a probe landed in Kazakhstan. Among them, the cosmonauts, was an astronaut from Puerto Rican descent who had taken pictures of Puerto Rico, and that's what Puerto Rico looks like now. We are no longer that bright bulb in the middle of the Caribbean. So, that said, I'd like to show you out of the 1,600 and change telecommunication towers, we lost about nearly 1,500 of them. And the ones that were remaining there were so damaged that you could find groups of people throughout the avenues looking for some kind of signal because some of them were still operational, even though they were mangled like you see them here. So what are the lessons learned? The Latin American and the Caribbean regions are highly vulnerable to natural disasters. For example, Mexico, less than 24 hours before Maria came by, and we had already experienced that Mexico had suffered an earthquake. Lessons learned, Japan, 2011. We learned very quickly from our Japanese brothers that they lost communications, they lost forms of letting us registries know that they needed to renew their domain names. So that, all that said, what we tried to do was to allow our users, we extended the registration, the renewal date, so that they could not lose their cyber real estate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pablo. Please know that tomorrow morning we're talking about lessons learned once more, and we'll discuss what else can we do to be better prepared the next time. I must say that when I learned about what Hurricanes Irma and Maria did to the island, the only thing I was glad about it, it wasn't Hurricane Katrina. Otherwise, it would have been... But yes, you're absolutely right. This is going to happen more and more, and we have to be prepared. Please be here tomorrow morning for a session on disasters and how to address them. Now I'd like to give the floor to Alejandra for some highlights on members' meetings this week.
Thank you very much, Katrina. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Here is the team that is responsible for building the agenda for these meetings. So if you see any one of us, please do not hesitate to contact us. If you have any suggestions, recommendations, comments on the meeting, we are here to improve it and to make it fit for all of you. So here we are. Also, these are the people who actually make it happen. This is the CCNSO Secretariat. If you don't know them by now, here are their faces, so you can also approach them with any questions you may have. It's Bart, Kim, Yoke, and Ria. So please also don't hesitate to go to them if you have any suggestions. Welcome everyone, and I wanted to know if there is any newcomer or someone who is the first time in this room, in this meeting. Is it? Yes. Please stand up so we can see you. Welcome. Hello. For you, please sit down. For you, let me please say that we have some material to introduce you to the CCNSO. There is a CCNSO quick guide. Kim, could you please here. So if you please would come either to the front to Kim or to Yelena, where are you? There, she's standing up. She's our community mentor for the onboarding program. So any questions you might have, this is your first source, and everyone else that didn't stand up also. So please welcome, and we expect to see you here from now on. Here is a summary of how you may find information to our meeting, the presentations, the agenda. You also have it printed in front of you. The remote participation and the Google Calendar, the wiki. This presentation, it's already uploaded. Right, Kim? Yes, it's already uploaded to the ICANN schedule, so you can download it and have it handy if to see our meetings. And this is a brief summary of what's going to be our members' meeting day one. So today we will have working group updates and ICANN updates. Also, a session on CCNSO as a decisional participant, CCNSO meeting strategy review, and a PTI session. Later, we will have a meeting with the ICANN board that will be in this very room, so they will come here. We are not moving until later in the afternoon when we do need to change our rooms. We have a meeting with the GAC that it's in Ballroom B. It's on the third level. So take note of that. And today, at the end of the day, we have our CCNSO cocktail, sponsored very dearly by .us, .pr, and Newster. It will be in the Antiguo Casino. And we will have some printed invitations. If you have not received the link to RSVP, then later Kim will have them with her, so look for her to have your printed invitation if you did not RSVP. Otherwise, don't worry about getting a printed invitation, unless, of course, you want it for yourself. Tomorrow, this is the summary of our sessions. We will have, as Katrina already mentioned, a session on the impact of natural disasters in CCTLDs. We'll have a policy session, accountability sessions, and CCTLD news session. Then we will continue with a legal session, ending the day with the CCN, a consultation with the ICANN NOMCOM Oh, well, nominating committee, and then we end the day with the CCNSO council meeting face-to-face. On Thursday, these are some of the relevant events that are outside the CCNSO members' meeting. It's the PDP Working Group on Retirement of CCTLDs. It's meeting in room 202. There's public forum 2 on Ballroom A, also on the third floor, and the public ICANN board meeting. For us, it's very, very important to know your opinion on the on how the members' meeting day is going. So please send us your feedback through the online survey that will be online tomorrow. We appreciate all your input. And don't forget that we are not only meeting here now. We can stay keep in touch. So we have our Facebook, Twitter, our website, and the CCNSO Secretariat email, so you can keep in touch with us. And welcome to the CCNSO.
Thank you very much, Alejandra. Thank you, and with that, let's consider our members' meeting days open, and with that, I pass the chairmanship of the session to Alejandra for our next session, which are CCNSO Working Group updates.
Thank you very much. May I ask, please, Jacques, Giovanni, Peter, to come forward.
Thank you.
And we will start with Jacques.
Good morning. My name is Jacques. I'm with Dottier. So today I'll give the status update on our TLD Ops Standing Committee. So most of you know what TLD Ops, but I'll go through what it is. So it's so what we decided to do as the outcome of the secure working group is to create a community of security, operational security people, and linked all these people on a single mailing list so that all CCTLD can share and collaborate together from a security perspective, from a operational security contacts point of view. And right now we have about 345 people who are on the mailing list from 193 CCTLD, which is a little bit more than what the CCNSO has. So I guess we're the recruiting arm for the CCNSO. The goal is to build a repository of all the contact and share that with the members on a regular basis. And that has been functional. And then the idea is that the mailing list is there to supplement the operation team. It's not there to replace the CCTLD security team. But if you're under duress, your security people can reach out and get help from the mailing list or the participant on the mailing list. And a lot of people are willing to help there. So that aspect is functional today. This is a sample of the repository email. So we send this. It includes name, mobile, phone number, the CCTLD that the person is affiliated with, primary email and secondary email addresses. So we added support for secondary email at the last ICANN meeting since then. And the idea is that it happened once. There was a CCTLD that was under DDoS, and they were using their Gmail addresses to reach out. And we weren't sure who they were or how to validate. So with this process, we can actually validate that at least this email address is coming from this person and it's affiliated to this CC. So this is working out, the contact repository part of it. Since the last ICANN in Abu Dhabi, there were no real security alert on the mailing list that was shared, which is a good thing. Obviously, we want to have traffic on the mailing list, but that means people are having issues, so it's good not to have traffic, but we want to make sure that it's used, so it's that part is difficult to figure out. It's not up to date. So since the last ICANN meeting, we added 3 new CCTLD to the list. So that was our target, to add 3 per ICANN, and we met that. I'm not sure which one we Ecuador, Honduras, Armenia. Yeah, my ear is okay. So we added three more, which is good. We still have an objective of adding three more CCTLD for the next meeting. And there were a few adds and change of contacts. So the committee members have an action item to add more CCTLD, more community outreach. Like Regis is going to go to the Dakar African meeting and try to do some recruiting there. So we're all on the mission to add more CCTLD to our group. So those are examples of alerts that were sent over the mailing list. So some are alerts like malware that's using DNS, DDoS attack, day zero compromise, latency issue on the TLD, stuff that is security related that is shared among all the people. So that's what the mailing list is used for. At the Copenhagen meeting and the ICANN, the Abu Dhabi meeting, we had TLD, we had DDoS mitigation workshop. So that was an experiment. So the first time we had about 50 people in the room, and then we collaborated on how to, as a CCTLD, to have a focus on a CCTLD to mitigate DDoS attack. At the Abu Dhabi meeting, we had a second workshop, and we've refined the information from the previous workshop and created a some sort of a playbook to mitigate DDoS attack. So since then, we had an action item to take the outcome of the two workshop and create the DDoS mitigation playbook. So that we have a draft available today. So at the steering meeting, the standing meeting on Sunday, we agreed that the current version we have is good enough to share with the community. So today I'm going to send out the link on, it's a Google link to a document. We're going to share that with all the TLD ops contacts today, so you can tell your security people to expect that document. What we want is we want the TLD ops community to review the document, to comment and provide feedback. This is going to be an experiment because potentially we're going to have 300-something people update the same document. So we'll see how that goes. We made a backup before putting it there. But I don't. The issue is that we don't have a lot of engagement with the community to update documents, so that's something we're reaching out for. So today we're going to send it, tell your people, security people that are on TLD ops to actually look for it and update, provide comments. And then once the comment is done, we'll finalize a draft and make it available in all ICANN language on the ICANN website. So that's going to be a template that you fill in the blanks, and it should make you in a position to know what to do in case you're hit by a DDoS attack. These are the same stats as pretty much last time. We need to focus on recruiting in Africa and like TLD. So that's the focus we have now. I talked about that, so we're going to share the TLD ops, the DDoS mitigation workbook today. If you're on this list, that means you're not on TLD ops. And I'll let you look at it. So there's a few standing committee members in the room. Can you raise your hand? So, no standing. And then if you're on this list, raise your hand, because you need to talk to the one that are the steering committee. So who's on this list here now? On the list. This is the missing CCTLD. That's good. All right. So the objective we have, for this ICANN was to add three new TLD. So we've done that to the list, to have a draft playbook. So we met all of the objective for this ICANN. And that's it. Do you have any questions? So remember, we're going to send that link today for the playbook, and you need to look at it and provide comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jack. Since we don't have any questions, may we please go to the next. Oh, Peter?
The link is sent. The link is sent to the list? Or the TLD ops list, yes. The security contacts.
For questions, please, next time, use the microphone for our remote participants. Thank you. So now we are going to hear from the plan, Strategic and Operational Planning Standing Committee, from Giovanni.
Thank you, Alejandra. So I'm very happy to report on duty at this ICANN Puerto Rico meeting. So trying to go on with the slides. Yes. So the Strategic and Operational Working Group of the CCNSO, as you may know, was created many years ago in Cairo in 2008. And until November last year, it stayed as a working group. And then it was decided to, you know, it was time to become an adult and become a standing committee of the CCNSO. The aim of this committee doesn't change against what was the aim of the working group. And the aim is to coordinate, facilitate, and increase the participation of the CCTLD managers in ICANN and PTI's strategic and operational planning processes. The committee has become quite important because when we produce comments against ICANN operating plan and budget, that is going to be part of the rejection action petition against ICANN and IANA budget. We have called for new volunteers to be member of this committee at the end of last year, and we had some confirmation of existing members, and new members were added to the committee. Again, it's a committee anybody can participate, and please feel free, if you like to join this committee, to contact the CCNSO Secretariat. And it's a real pleasure to have new members on board, as well as to be able to count on the expertise of the existing members. What we have done in the recent past, let's say, is that at the end of last year, we submitted a comment to the ICANN proposal for the reserve fund. And this comment was produced by some of the members of the committee and was submitted to ICANN. And one of the, let's say, key points in the comment was to support a reserve fund which is between corresponds to 12 to 17 months of operating expenses of ICANN. And at present, ICANN has produced and published a proposal for the replenishment of the reserve fund. And this proposal is up to public comment until almost the end of April on the ICANN site. And that follows a decision of the ICANN board at the beginning of February to indeed move forward with the replenishment of the reserve fund to make the reserve fund able to cope with operating expenses for up to 1 year. So the working group, the committee, sorry, in their meeting last Sunday decided that we will also participate in the public comment and produce a comment against this proposal of ICANN to replenish the reserve fund and the way ICANN is proposing to replenish such fund. Now, most importantly, what we have done is also to produce our comment against the ICANN fiscal year 19 operating plan and budget, whose public comment period ended on the 8th of March. And here I produce a slide that summarizes some of the key comments, key points that we have put forward to ICANN attention over the past three fiscal year operating plan and budget. And as you may see, there are a lot of common points, including, and most importantly, the fact that the reading of the operating plan and budget is not so easy, as there is a lack of consistency among the different sections of the plan. And recently, with the fiscal year 19, that has become even more problematic because the information is scattered across six documents. Before, it was just one document. And one of the key points that we have highlighted in the comments that we have produced for the fiscal year operating plan and budget is that there are some key elements that should be together with, for instance, the goals and the actions, like the metrics and the accountability indicators, and those are reported in a different document. So it's quite difficult to put all the information together and go through the information. Another key comment that we have been saying to ICANN for the past at least 3 years is to be more prudent when it comes to budget estimates. And this is something that, as a matter of fact, has been acknowledged by the ICANN CEO and the ICANN board chair in the preamble of the first introductory document to the ICANN fiscal year 19 operating plan and budget, because they indeed acknowledge that the planning process, especially the long-term planning process, should needs a better structure and a better management. So let's say that those are the key comments over the past 3 years. As you can see, again, there's a lot of common points that we keep reiterating. And at some point, we were happy that some of them were taken on board, like one of the major achievements of this committee has been that indeed ICANN has improved a lot in terms of including more metrics and accountability indicators against different goals and actions of the plan. If you look at the fiscal year 19 budget, you can see is that the funding is expected to be $138 million of dollars, US dollars. And as you can see, that is lower than the adopted budget for fiscal year 18, but is more in line with the actuals of fiscal year 18. So let's say ICANN has somehow admitted, acknowledged that they were a bit more, optimistic against the possible funding. And indeed, that caused ICANN to review several parts of the operating plan for fiscal year 18. And this is a detailed projection about the fiscal year 19 budget and the actuals for fiscal year 17, the fiscal year 18 adopted, and the fiscal year 18 forecast. For the newcomers, ICANN fiscal year starts on the 1st of July and ends on the 30th of June, so it doesn't correspond to a calendar year, but it starts in the middle of a calendar year and finishes at the end of June the following year. So most of the, increases, or at least the highest increase for the fiscal year 19 operating plan and budget is for personnel that continues to increase. Committee has highlighted to ICANN that we would like to understand the rationale between a continuous headcount increase against budget cuts that are foreseen in several other areas. And we would also like to understand if those budget cuts are the outcome of assessment of the value of those actions or are just cuts proposed by the different departments without having proper assessment of the impact of those actions. The ICANN finance department, during the meeting we had last Sunday, stated that they are not in the position yet to comment and provide feedback to us. They have taken on board our comments, and they will produce in due time the feedback and publish it on the ICANN.org site. But again, some of the key points that we also see highlighted in the preamble of the current fiscal year 18, and those are statements that are quite important, and statements that are made in the letters that precede the fiscal year 19 draft operating plan and budget. The first one is from the ICANN CEO. It says ICANN.org could have done better in its long-term financial planning. This is something that, again, this committee has been highlighted for many years. The second one, it's the most important one, and the most important one because ICANN will soon start the process to produce the strategy plan for 2021 till 2026. The current strategy plan, the current objectives, were approved in 2015, and they cover the period 2016 till 2020. And now ICANN is in the process of starting the production of the strategy plan for the coming 5 years, 2021 to 2026. It's quite important, this second point, because, again, this community has been given the sort of duty to come up and say what we want, what we expect from ICANN in the coming strategy plan. And so we had a sort of exchange of views with ICANN during the meeting last Sunday, and we were informed that ICANN will soon start the process of collecting input, collecting wishes from the community, and that will start in the coming months. So it will be quite important to see how ICANN is planning to get engaged with the different constituencies and stakeholders to make sure that the different voices are heard and taken into account when the strategy plan is produced. That said, I'd like to finish here. I'm happy to answer any question. You have seen the working group members, if I can go back. So feel free to approach any of us these days or in the coming months, especially when ICANN will come up with a strategy plan draft, and we'll be happy to listen to you and make sure that some of your wishes or needs are channeled via the SOP committee. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, Giovanni. Any questions? Yes, we have one question. Byron.
Hi, Giovanni and team. First off, I just want to say you guys continue to do excellent work, so thank you for doing that on our behalf. My question is regarding some of the comments that Jorn has made about the number of reviews that are happening in the coming year, 9 reviews and all of the effort and resources, which at the end of the day means money that goes along with all of those reviews. And there seems to be a bit of a drumbeat to maybe pace those reviews out a little bit more. And I'm wondering if your committee has had any discussions or you have any thoughts on the merits of that, or is that more smokescreen, or do you think there's validity in having a conversation about pacing those reviews out a little more, recognizing some of them are bylaw-driven, some of them have some more flexibility?
Thank you, Byron. We didn't have any specific discussion on reviews, but it's a good point, especially after having heard what Jorn has said during the opening ceremony, and we may take this into account in the future, let's say, discussions of the committee. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Giovanni. We now continue with CCWG, new GTLD auction proceeds with Peter.
Thanks, Alejandra. Good morning, everyone. I'm taking the place here for Qin Chao, who couldn't make it to this meeting and who is used to do the reporting on our behalf, although that he is no longer appointed member to the board, but he continues to serve for the auction proceeds working group. So I would like to take this opportunity to do a brief recap, because we have been busy with this working group since a little more than 1 year now. Has been its activities have started January 2017. Excuse me. So that might provide us with a good opportunity to have a quick look back. So basically, what is the meaning of this working group? Well, it all is linked with the new GTLD program, as you know, that has been rolled out a couple of years ago. So basically, if you have within the new GTLD program, if you had competing applications, meaning that there was a contention on the level of the string that was applied for, the applicant guidebook provided us with a so-called last resort mechanism to solve the contention. If there was no agreement between the various applicants, then the last resort was to organize an auction. an auction, classical auction, that provides proceeds, auction proceeds. Those auction proceeds are not part of ICANN's operating or normal funds that it can use for its activities, so they are in segregated accounts. So, thank you. To be clear, it's only about auction proceeds. There has been some, hesitation in the past that this should also deal with applicant fees, evaluation fees, and even there were suggestions to create a mechanism in redistributing applicant fees to the original applicants. But basically, and that's the most important thing, is we're dealing with an examination and to come up with suggestions for allocation or distribution of the net auction proceeds. Currently, because this is not a final figure, we are over, let me check, I think it was 233 millions of US dollars, but there is still about 8 or 9 contention sets, so this number can actually still grow in the future. And also, it is accruing interest, so even the coming months or years, it will still become a bit larger. So what happened? In March 2015, there was a call whether there was interest between the ACs and SOs to come up with a cross-community working group to explore ways how to deal with the auction proceeds. It took considerable time to get everything on track, and finally at the ICANN meeting in Helsinki, a draft charter was presented. It was subsequently adopted during the meeting in Hyderabad, and the auction proceeds cross-community working group kicked off its activities in January 2017. Now, it's quite a large group, which is good. All SOs and ACs are involved in it, so we currently have 26 members, 49 participants, and 30 observers. And as I said, the most important goal and objectives are to develop proposals on the mechanisms that can be used to allocate new GTLD auction proceeds. It's not about finding projects and allocating funds to projects. It's more high level, doing suggestions about the mechanisms that could be used to achieve this. So we are expected to review the scope of fund allocation. We need to be sure that the usage of the funds is done in a proper way and in an accountable way. And what has been stressed since the very beginning of the activities of the working group by the ICANN board is that conflicts of interests are lurking behind the corner and should be avoided at any cost. Other things that we need to keep in mind with our work is that everything needs to be in consistency, of course, with ICANN's missions, with ICANN's mission and the bylaws. There are a number of things that, from my perspective, seem to be very logic, but that we need to keep in mind as well. ICANN cannot use funds to the private benefit of individuals. It cannot be used for political activities, and it cannot be used for lobbying activities. As I said, conflict of interest considerations are something that is very key for the ICANN board. And there are of course, procedural and financial fiduciary concerns that are linked with the ICANN org as a corporation and should be kept on board as well. So what's the plan, the working plan? The first phases were to run through the questions that were identified in the charter. I'm not going in detail of those questions, but they are listed in this slide deck. So if you're interested, you can go through them. It's questions about what mechanism, what framework could be used, how to avoid conflicts of interest, what kind of organization would you need, should it be in or outside ICANN, what are the control mechanisms to make sure that the funds are used in a proper way, etc., etc. So the task of the working group is to consider all of those questions, then look into the possible mechanisms, consult with experts in the field that can guide us so that we do not lose time in creating an own model if there are already valuable models that are used currently. And then, because it's a bit of a chicken and egg problem, once you have narrowed the list of possibilities for mechanisms, you can go back to your list of questions and review them. So here you see the work plan. It needs to lead to an initial report for public comment, then subsequently a final report that will be submitted to the board. In terms of timing, we are a little behind the initial schedule. We have a meeting, I think it's on Thursday morning, so I hope to find out more about where we are then exactly with the timeline. So those are the questions if you want to look into them in detail. Currently, Stephen, Pablo and myself are the CCNSO appointed members. And if you're interested in following the work more closely, here you get the links. And of course, feel free to join for the session on coming Thursday. And I think that's about it for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter. For the sake of time, we're going to pass to our next presenter. And at the end of the session, if we have some time, we can have some questions. So now, please, Katrina, will you tell us about the Guidelines Review Committee?
Yeah, thank you very much. So this is an update from the Guidelines Review Committee on what we've done. Here you can see members and former members of our group. Time from since Abu Dhabi had been very difficult for us. We lost three members resigned, and here you still can see Ben as our working group member. Unfortunately, he won't be our member anymore. So yes, we will need more people, more volunteers, and we will ask the council to issue a call for volunteers. So if you're interested to join, please do. So what we've done, we still work on many different guidelines, but we tried to concentrate on two things. First one was all the procedures with respect to the community's right to reject specific actions, and draft operating standard. Operating standard is supposed to be a document that guides specific reviews. As you know, we're already in some of the specific reviews, but there's still no guiding document. The first draft was published at the end of the last year, and we prepared a CCNSO Council statement on the operating standards, and the group itself submitted more detailed comments on the document. And we're also preparing for the CCNSO review. You know that there will be a working party that will work closely with the independent reviewer of the CCNSO. Speaking about the procedures for exercise of EC rights to reject specific actions, what we did in the document, I will talk about it a little bit in more details later today during the next session on the CCNSO as decisional participant. But the most important things here are that we try to define roles and responsibilities and fit into the tight timelines that are given by the bylaws. As you know, we submitted the draft guideline for you to comment, and we also held two webinars. We really hoped on active participation from the community members. We've got in total 26 participants, taking into account the fact that some of those participants were the members of the Guidelines Review Committee. I'd say that participation was very low. I don't know what it means, how to interpret it. I'd like to interpret it the way that you trust the Guidelines Review Committee and you trust the Council to adopt the right thing. Nevertheless, yes, we would really like to hear more from you. If you have any comments on the guideline, you're still welcome to submit them. I hope that the CCNSO Council will be able to adopt the document during its call in April, which gives us still some more time. Operating standards, yeah, as I already mentioned, we submitted two documents. One was on behalf of the Council. The Council prepared the statement, and there were comments from the group. The main essence of the statement were that we're very concerned with the large number of reviews that we're supposed to carry, that's basically volunteer work, volunteers from the community, and we struggle with volunteers, as you will also see today a little bit after lunch break. Nevertheless, there is a need for operating standards in place, and we stress that we propose not to start any new review before operating standards have been finalized and adopted. And some other general comments. What we're planning to do next, yeah, we have to finalize CCNSO Council roles and responsibilities. We also submitted the draft guideline on CCNSO travel funding to the Council, received some feedback. Now it's back to the group for analysis and implementation. And we'd like to start a discussion on the rules of the CCNSO. That's a document from 2004, which served us well for some time, but probably now it's time to look at the document and maybe at least start a discussion on changing it. Yeah. Do we need to change it? And if yes, then how to proceed? And yes, of course, it's also CCNSO review. It's supposed to start not later than 31st August this year, and it will last at least a year. That is all. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them.
Thank you very much, Katrina. Any questions from the audience? Any questions to any of the other working groups updates? Well, if not, please let's thank our presenters for giving us such an update. Thank you. Please bear in mind that the heavy duty of the CCNSO is done through the working groups, and that two of them that have updated us today are requesting for more volunteers to participate in them. So if you are interested, do not hesitate to contact them directly or the CCNSO Secretariat, and please do join them. With this, let me tell you that we are very close to the coffee break, and we need to come back here at 10:30 to start with the session of the CCNSO as a decisional participant. Thank you very much.